Less than 2 months ago, here at the ABC, we covered a story about allegations of bullying and the misuse of the code of conduct system in the Alice Springs Town Council. Today, another councillor has spoken out, saying the current code of conduct complaint system doesn't work. He spent the past 6 months fighting a complaint, which was eventually thrown out, found to be vexatious, baseless and frivolous. He's not the first, and he may well not be the last, as the ABC understands at least one other councillor is still in the midst of a long, drawn-out code of conduct complaint. Councillor Jimmy Cocking has until now been silent about the code of conduct process, but he's with us this afternoon in the studio. Jimmy, thanks so much for being here.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
How has this complaint, this code of conduct complaint against you, affected your life, whether it's personal or work?
Well, it's just, you know, it's busy enough anyway, like between work and council and having to do the reading and the meetings and all that sort of things that are part of the job, but then having the stress of potential, you know, legal ramifications and also just that reputation, the risk of losing office or being, you know, reprimanded for a code of conduct complaint made against me. So it's been really challenging, quite stressful because of, you know, I just never thought this was going to be something that was going to be part of the job of council, and yeah, and you know, it's impacted my work and my family, and just having to just deal with this in the background of life, you know, and it's, I suppose that's the challenge of it, and the fact that it's just taken so long as well, like the process just kind of, you know, there's a month between each response and just the fact that it seemed to come out of nowhere as well. So
now, you're not alone. There's a number of Alice Springs Town councillors who've had code of conduct complaints against them. Some have been dealt with. We know Ellie Melkies have been found to be frivolous as well. We know there are others who are unable to talk about theirs at the moment. Do you think the residents of Alice Springs should be concerned about this code of conduct complaint system and the effect that it's having on councillors to get on with the job?
Well, I think, you know, the just recently at the local government association meeting up in Darwin, there was a motion moved, I think, by one of the Arnhem Land councils around the code of conduct system, because currently the Act enables, there's two processes. It can either be dealt with locally with the CEO and the local council, or it can be dealt with through the local government disciplinary committee process where the, I think it's the Legant, the Attorney General and the Minister's Office appoint a person each to be on the committee. And it just like these sorts of things, you know, the fact that it's a really sort of distant committee too, like you don't know who the people are who are deciding your fate on the issue, and the fact that it's to go through this whole process. You know, I'm pretty happy that it was found to be frivolous and baseless in the end, but at the time, having to go through the process of responding to a complaint that in my heart and mind I just knew was frivolous and vexatious, but just happened to
see the process through. Because there's a reason that this process is in place. There's a reason to try and protect councillors against code of conduct.
And it's also important to have a complaints process in place to be able to ensure that people do act within the code of conduct. But it's just a shame. The system's been able to be, it's been used in this way that has had this stress, you know, and I think that it's a shame that that the system is the way it is, and I hope that there are processes to reform the Local Government Act to make sure that before things go to a departmental level, that they are able to be sort of at least heard or dealt with locally, I think is a really important way.
And that's going back to what you talked about. So when there's a code of conduct complaint, you can either take it to the CEO for mediation, or you take this, what seems to be more serious course of action, to this disciplinary committee. Who decides which path is taken?
Well, ultimately, from my understanding, it's the complainant has the option to do both, and so to do either way. So I'm not sure in terms of what advice the applicant had to do that or to make that decision, but that was the process that was taken, and that was ultimately sort of tied me up in process for the last 6 months.
Were you offered, or could you get, any legal representation?
Well, it's always an option with something like this to be able to get legal representation. But again, you know, I'm on a, you know, reasonably low income for the work that I do, and
you'd have to foot the bill for that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was so. Yeah, so there are options to get advice, and I had sought advice from people that have got more understanding of these sorts of things than I do, and constructed my responses based on that.
Now, there's been a lot of secrecy around the code of conduct complaints that have been happening within the Alice Springs Town Council, and that's because of how it's all set up. So you haven't been able to say much about what's happened to you, but can you share with us what exactly was that original complaint?
Well, it was about a Facebook post that I'd put up in January 31st and also a comment that I'd put on the Alice Springs News on the same date. And I received the notification from the department on April 5th that a resident of Alice Springs had alleged that I'd breached the Alice Springs Town Council Code of Conduct. So ultimately, I just got an email with a letter with the complaint, which was, you know, it was almost 20 pages of complaint against me for the Facebook comment and the article or the comment on the Alice Springs News that I made. And so that was that sort of led to the process that I was subjected, that I had to go through.
Are you able to disclose who made that complaint?
Well, that's the thing, I can't. At this stage, until I get more advice, and I suppose it's just not clear in terms of the process, in terms of the confidentiality element of it. So that's the stressful thing about the whole thing. Like, I just didn't know who I could talk to about it or what I could say to people about it. So it's been something that I've just had to carry, and I suppose I'm sort of apologising to friends and others that I've been a bit kind of distant, a bit sort of, you know, distracted with things, because this has been sort of playing out in the background despite an already busy life. And so I feel like I've been sort of caught up in a process that I haven't been able to really talk about until it sort of has been found, which it has now. I haven't had legal advice to talk today, but I just had to get it off my chest because it's kind of been eating away at me. So it's important, I think, to get it out there for people to know that these sorts of things are going on and have been. And the fact that there's, you know, a number of these codes of conduct that have been issued to elected members in council at the same time has been of real concern, and I think that's something that that the public has a right to know this.
Well, they're publicly elected officials. What kind of effect have you seen on other councillors?
Well, you know, it's only been recently we've sort of been able to find out about all this, and you know, people just not being able to turn up to me, just stress, you know, and just the fact that it eats away at people. Like, I know that there was Councillor Melky and was away from meetings in the, you know, May June period, and that was the sort of time when I first had mine too, and it just eats away at you, like, because you kind of, you know, we're there to do work for the community, and then you know, it's just, and the fact that it sort of at the end it's a vexatious and frivolous claim, it's been a real challenge for me. Like, I got into this job, you know, wanting to make a difference and get involved, and then you know, it was the last thing on my mind that I thought I'd be facing a code of conduct in my first 12 months of council. And I suppose it's really challenging that's been the course of action that we've had to deal with. So
will you be hoping for an apology, some kind of recourse?
Well, I'm not too sure. I'm going to get legal advice, and once I've got that and I can understand, then in terms of how much information I can give, because at the moment, as you can tell, I'm pretty cautious about what I'm saying, because I don't want to, you know, create any more of these sorts of situations. So I just think that what I need to do is get advice, and once I've got that advice and the options that are available to me to be able to discuss this further and for people to actually better understand the nature of the vexatiousness and the frivolous allegations, then we can you know, move forward.
Jimmy, I want to just go back for a moment to the original complaint itself. Now, it was with regards to something that had happened in January, as you said, a comment that you made on Facebook and also something online, but that complaint didn't come through until April, several months later. Is there no time frame on when people are able to make these code of conduct complaints?
From my understanding, there's a six-month time line under the Act, so you've got up to 6 months to make a complaint.
Do you think that's reasonable?
Oh, look, it's you know, it's a fair bit of time. I mean, you know, people, it's you know, it, I when I got it, I was a bit dumbfounded that I'd actually, that, you know, that I was, that was the reality that had been bestowed upon me as a result of a Facebook post. So I think that you know, ultimately it would be better if it was sooner. And I think that there needs to be a better complaints process so that particularly to kind of, in, you know, working out ways to be able to reduce the risk of vexatious and frivolous claims being made against people, because it does have impact on people's lives, and there are examples in other places where people who, just to, I suppose, to reduce the risk of those happening, is that cost or something, if vexatious claims are made, that then there's some way to disincentivise that from people, so it's not the system's not used in that way. So I think there's lots of things, and I think the Local Government Act is it seems perpetually up for review, but I think it's in review at the moment, and I'd hope that the code of conduct elements of it, they'll take on board the motion from Legant and look at ways of which we can reduce, because obviously there must be a cost to bring.
And is there some kind of threshold test at the moment?
Ultimately, no. Like, if a complaint comes in, from my understanding, a complaint comes in, and if it comes in through the Department of Communities and, or the local government department, regional development, that then they can, it triggers a process where they have to establish a disciplinary committee, and goes that way. Whereas if it was run through the council process, and the CEO has a process to deal with under the Alice Springs Code of Conduct policy. So it's, I think that it would be better if there was a way that it was able to, the Code of Conduct process could run through a local process first before it gets referred to the higher authority.